Now, Ephesians chapter 4. We're starting at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that is us. Verse 13, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine without a sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Jump up back to verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's been laid out, and it's very easy, but for some reason we make it really hard to be the church. We make it really difficult because of ritual over years, because of different religious things that we picked up, man-made things, from traditional things we picked up. We made it difficult to be the church. And before I start, when I say church, and this is something that we just inherently have to break just over time or out of conditioning. Whenever you say church, you always see a building. It's the first thing no matter how much you teach about we are the church, as soon as you say church, the first thing you think about world shaker. You know what I'm saying? The first thing you think about world life, like the first thing you think about is the building. And I think it comes from just a conditioning for so long. And it is not that anything is wrong with that. But if you stop there, I think we should see church first before we see church. I think we should see church before we see the steeple being the church. That's church building. In the old days, they used to call them synagogues. That's the place of worship. It's a place where they would gather together. But the church, ever since Jesus, the church is in us. We are the church. My body is a temple, right? And so sometimes you have to break, in order to really get what's going on and really get church unusual and really get what we should be doing, you kind of got to break your mind out of that. It's hard. It's difficult sometimes to break your mind out of things that we've learned for so long. I've been going to church since I remember going to church. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been forever, and so I've always been going to church, never realizing that I was the church. You know what I'm saying? I realized that until I was a little older. And so it takes a changing of mind, and once you can do that, once you can recondition, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. Once we can recondition our minds, this is why the Bible really says meditate day and night. This is why it really says this book of the law said they meditate day and night in Psalms 1. That's why it says this. It says that because God knows, and the Holy Spirit knows, and Jesus knows that we have preconceived thoughts that's been taught to us for whatever reason, and we got to break those things in order to really be. I mean, do you really get what that's saying when it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus? Do you really get how serious that is? And we quote that scripture, don't we? But you realize how serious that is? Like, you realize how much of a mind overhaul you got to have to let that mind be in you? Like, you realize how much of a yielding it takes to let this mind be in you? Let. Everybody say let. Let the mind. You let them in. You open the door and let it come on in. You don't walk them in. You don't put them in. Let this mind, all right? And so a lot of our conditioning is really to get us out of the way. We've made it really, 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 really hard to do this. They made it very difficult. And I hopefully what I say tonight, and you've heard this before, but it just simplifies things, because Jesus was very simple, but he was most effective. He was very to the point, but he was most effective. He didn't have a lot going on, there wasn't a lot of jargon. He knew a lot of things, he did. He knew a lot of the books and knew a lot of the law and knew how everything went, but his operation was very simple. And so we jumped through a lot of hoops and hurdles and different things with little effect. Can we agree? With little effect, with little signs and wonders, with little effectiveness in our own personal lives, number one, but then little effectiveness on people in church and people in church building and people outside the church building. People, it's little effect. There's many people that got Christians in the world, should be more effect going on, true or not true. Even with just people in your church and in my church building and with our church families, it should be a whole lot more going on in the cities. But there's not a lot because we made it difficult and we made it, just over years, we just picked up a lot of different things. And rightfully so, we've been meaning right. But just because you mean right don't mean you do right. Right? There's a way that seemeth right to a man. I mean, it seems right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like the right way to go. But the end thereof is death. What that means is the end thereof is no fruit, no life, no advancement, no progress. And a lot of times we can see that. We've seen it all individually in life and just as a whole. So it's a simplify. Everybody say simplify. It's a simplified situation. You know, everything before Jesus in the Bible is pointing forward towards him. Everything after Jesus in the Bible is pointing back to him. So you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, those are our accounts of Jesus. All right, so everything after John comes Acts. Everything from Acts on to the end is pointing back up to Jesus. Everything from Genesis to Malachi is pointing forward. It's shadowed. They say they were the men of God. We read, you know, we like David and Daniel and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Elijah and Elisha, and we like the prophet Samuel, and you know, we learn a lot of things, but all them they were all shadows of Jesus. Right, you know what a shadow is, right? Shadow looks like you, shaped like you. It'll almost tell me that you're around the corner if I saw your shadow. It'll tell me that you're around the corner. Like I could be right here and I see a shadow and I can walk around this corner and expect to see you. The shadow, but the shadow ain't you. The shadow is almost like a reflection. I don't know if a reflection is the right word or the shape of the light hitting you, but it's not you. And so they were all shadows of Jesus. So everything in front of him was pointing towards him. Everything behind was pointing back to him. He is everything. You remember the song, Jesus is all? You remember the world? Yeah, it's a real thing. Like, he's all. He's not half of, he's not just your Savior, he's everything. Like, he's your thoughts, he's your life, he's your functioning, he's your words. Like, he's everything. Like, he's it. Jesus is the mole. I was reading this morning, I was reading Luke 7, and the Holy Spirit told me, he said, Jesus is the mole. Like, that's it. How have we gotten over to where we are as the church? This class is called Church Unusual. So how have we gotten over to where we are, to where things become so difficult? Things take so long to happen. We jump through all of these hurdles to try to get a little result and sometimes no result. Like, how did we get here? How did we get so far right or left field? It's easy. It talks about for the perfection of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. You realize that, right? We are the body of Christ. And then it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. So now from verse 11 to there, it's saying he's given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to teach us until we come into the knowledge, to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So that leads me to another thing. We have a lot of messages that's being preached in the church and a lot of different cool little acronyms. You know, preachers preaching, they get cool little phrases and stuff. But where's Jesus? Everything should lead back to Jesus. Everything should lead back to, up to, straight to Jesus, because he's our only thing to stand on. I can give you a bunch of principles, but if I don't give you the life, then it doesn't matter. If I can tell you a bunch of promises, but if I don't give you the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Like no man coming to the Father but by me. It's not just talking about going to heaven. It's talking about producing like the Father. And so everything, all of your messages, you know, Jesus is not just, this is a cool little week to talk about Jesus. You know, this is exciting. Everybody got a Jesus message this week, you know what I'm saying? And they're going to be preaching all this week long, you know what I'm saying? And everybody got a message about Jesus, and they're going to be preaching about how he got up and everything on this Sunday, and that's cool. And, you know, bravo for that. But it's a lifelong thing. Jesus' life is inexhaustible. You could never get enough. You could never get enough of how he functions. And it's so easy. Everybody say easy. Even Jesus said it. Didn't he say that? Didn't he tell us that? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly heart. Then he's going to say, he said, for my yoke is and my burden is. Now, does that match what's going on? As a whole, this is how you practically can know how to minister to people and practically minister to Jesus. And this is how you get to the bottom of it. You know, we do a lot of different stuff and say a lot of different things, but does that add up? Yoke easy, burden light. Yoke, he said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So it shouldn't be that difficult. That don't sound difficult, huh? Easy and light. You ain't never heard, that's an easy test, right? That was light. You never hear, that was light. Like you pick something up that's light. It doesn't take any sweat. It doesn't take really hard work. That's simple. What about I say simplify? And so everything, we got a lot of principles, and thank God for them. And there's nothing against principles, but if you have principles without the principle, like without the main cause for everything, then you don't have the power to activate that principle. I mean, you can name some of the different subjects in church that we preach. You know what I'm saying? We preach about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. We preach about sowing and reaping. We preach about, it's a lot of different things. And there's stuff that we need to hear about. Putting on the whole armor of God. Like we hear all those things. And God bless all of that. But it's got to lead back because Jesus is the way. Right. You want increase? Jesus is the way. Right. You want healing? Jesus is the way. Peace? Jesus. There's no other way. He said, I am, was powerful. I am the, not a way. No way. That's it. So Jesus is the way. But not Jesus is the way like Jesus is my ticket. No, Jesus is the way like he is. I'm going to say it like this and I'm going to say it again. The way that Jesus did it is the way that I do it, right? But he is that way. Like he embodies the way. You know, he didn't just do the way. He is the way. Now, see, that's a different thing. That's a different thing than doing like Jesus and being Jesus. See, a lot of people won't say that because they're afraid. But Jesus even said that. That's how Jesus talked. Even this, I'm going to read the scripture in a minute. He's talking about the people got mad at him because he said God was his father. And it was said, they said, because that makes him just like God. That's what they said. And embodying Jesus. Where is Jesus? We always say he's in our heart, right? Always on the inside of us, right? So if we're embodying him, we should be functioning like him. I'm not talking about smiling at everybody and being friendly. I'm sure I never heard any accounts where Jesus smiled at everybody. Read your gospel. I never hear this stuff that we, you know, the nicest thing. I never hear that. But I do see Jesus, and I know that when Jesus ministered to people, he always talked to them. Always asking, what's wrong? How long you been like this? Right? Come on. Always had compassion upon him. The Bible talks about that. He always had compassion upon him. He talked to him. Then he spoke to whatever they dealt with and commanded it to change. His words commanded it to change. Then he would say, go and sin no more. I'm going to show you a scripture in a minute that we have the right to forgive sins. Yes. Yeah. I mean, he told us to. He told us to do it. The works that I do, who gonna do them? You. Who is you? All right. I know. I know the scripture said, but like you, So the works that I do, shall you do. Like if Jesus talking right up here, he said, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these because I go unto my Father. So that means the same things that I do, you're going to do the same thing. Because I go to my Father. But I got to go to my Father because I'm going to send back a comforter whose name is the Holy Ghost. Then God's in all truth, show you things you do not know, teach you things, right? I'm getting ahead of myself. And show you how this works. Are y'all with it? You're going to do so now. However he did it, we should do it. I don't know where the confusion comes in. I don't know where the discrepancy comes in. I don't know where the off road gets. And by say simplify, it's very simple. He's the mold. He's the mold. It'd have been something if we had some dark book that was written in some other language, and we couldn't find it, and you know, like in some different denomination that. The preacher, the whoever's ahead of the church, got to read it to you because they can't read the book, right? It'll be one thing if that's the case, and it'll be another thing if it's somewhere dark in a dungeon somewhere and we got to go on some journey to Mecca to find out what's going on, and everybody can't go there because everybody can't make the trip. It's one thing if all that was going on, but none of that is going on. It's right there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is right there in your face every day. How much it costs you to open your Bible up today? Not nothing. Just some time, right? The time that's worth it, right? And the mold is there. Like I studying Jesus, I'm looking at Jesus today. The mold is there. The mold has always been there. The Bible ordering all of us. The Bible been here years before we've been here. So the mold was there when you got you. The mold was here when you landed foot on this earth. And so it's very simple, but we make it very difficult. Tell we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Until a perfect man, until the measure of the stature, look at me, the stature, until the measure of the stature. How big was Jesus? Not physical stature, but the like his stature as a man on earth, as God in man on earth, the stature, till we measure up to his size. Till we measure up to his weight, like the weight that he carried. Until we measure up to there, we're constantly learning. And constantly going. So John chapter 5, and we'll read John 5, and then we'll go to John chapter 20 thereafter. John 5, and there's a couple of our favorite scriptures in here, but, you know, we jump to verse 39. And just remember this always, whenever preaching, whenever ministering, please don't ever let yourself become biblically selective, meaning you find your favorite scripture, and that's your text, and you don't know what the context is. You don't know what's going on before and after. What was going on? Who was he talking to, right? And living by the book class, we had that. Who was he talking to? Why was he saying it like that? Like, what's going on? Because it gives you understanding. So now, and I had to do a little reading. At the end of chapter 4, he just, the noble man says, Jesus, in verse 49, says, "Sir, come down here, my child died." Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word Jesus spoke unto him, and he went his way. All right, and right before that, he said, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe, right? So then you go down to the beginning of chapter 5, he's doing another miracle. He said, "Will thou be made whole?" Verse 6. Verse 5, a certain man which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie, he knew it a long time in that case. He said, "Will thou be made whole?" Then the man, "Sir, I have no man with the water trouble to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another stepping down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And I even see something in there that this guy is telling Jesus, "I have no man where the water is troubled to put me in the water. So I can't follow the ritual." He don't even know he's talking to the life giver. He don't even know that he's right there in relationship with the one that is in control of the ones that come down and trouble the water. Like, he's actually the troubler of the water. He is the water. He said, "Drink of this well, you'll never thirst again." Remember that? Remember that? All that stuff goes together. And so now he's saying, I've been trying to do what I was supposed to do. Right? Because the right thing. Angels come down and trouble the water. First one to get in, get healed. If he's a lame man, he knows that if he does that, he goes through the mold that it'll happen for him. It's the right thing to do. It's what he knew to do. Before Jesus, he didn't have any other way. That was it. So he was going through, but until then he was lame and could not walk. So if you can't walk, you can't get nowhere. If you can't walk, you can't make no progress, right? Sound like church, right? As a whole, right? But when you actually meet Jesus, and then Jesus actually speaks to you, everything should change. Everything should be different. Everything should grow. Everything should flow. Everything should progress. Now we have it best. I want to say it again. We have it the best because we don't have to go anywhere to find him. Lo here, lo there. No, the kingdom of God is within you. How much closer does it need to get? It's manifestation that we want in our personal lives and in the lives of people around us and even in the things that we do. But we're looking everywhere else. Looking for love in the wrong place. Like we're looking everywhere else, but it's right with us. It's right with us. God, Emmanuel meant God with us. And so simplify is a perfect example. And I wasn't even trying to stop there. I was trying to get some others, but it's a perfect example of where we are a lot of time. We're impotent. And we ain't got nobody to put us in the water. So now you're depending on men. Now you're depending on somebody else. You can't depend on. Today I put a note in my phone. I said, I trust God alone. No, catch me. Listen to me. I trust God alone. It doesn't mean I don't trust you. I don't really trust you. I mean, even family, even the nicest person that you know, like, they're trustworthy, but nobody's more trustworthy than God. And so I trust God, which enables me to trust you. Like, I trust the God in you. You see what I'm saying? But if you flip out, I'm going to be okay. Like, if you decide to do me wrong, I'm going to be okay because I trust God. Trust God alone. My trust is based in him. Right? Because men will leave. Didn't Peter leave Jesus? I won't leave you. Gone. Right? Matter of fact, we dog on Peter because Peter get the most pub, most excitement, but all of them was gone. Not one of the disciples was there. They had to find another man from Africa named Simeon to carry his cross. Well, golly, the armor bearer should have been there. Everybody's gone. Jesus telling you how to live, man. We can get this done without anybody else if we don't need to. Now God put us together, joint supply. I get it. I get the joint supply. But you know what God will do? If the joints won't supply, God will make my joint strong enough. He'll do it. So now you meet immediately the man was made whole. So I just got to do a little reading. So verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him, that was cured. It is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. In other words, y'all can say what y'all want. This man told me, y'all wasn't helping me. Now, anytime you see the Jews in here, and you start talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees, it represents the church of the day. They were the holy people. And they tell him, the man just got delivered. Put your bed down. All right. The person just got delivered. Now he need to now go over there and change this. Don't we do that in church? Change this. Now don't walk like this. Don't celebrate. Celebrate that they're here. Celebrate that they're trying to do something. First thing to do. Now find us. Let's find us. Let's find us. And then they asked him. What man is this who said this unto thee? Take up thy bed and walk. He said, and he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. I noticed something else about Jesus right there. Jesus really wasn't too much for a lot of fanfare. He wasn't too much for a lot of glory. Take up thy bed, rise up and walk. And then Jesus is gone. He ain't wait around to say, I healed him. Yeah, I'm the one who healed him. Yeah, it was me. Don't we see a lot of that in church too? A lot of stuff won't happen for us as the church because we can't get over that either. Like, we need a lot of glory. I don't know why we're that way. We need a lot of validation. I don't know why we're that way. I don't know for what cause, but we need to regroup. We just need a lot of people patting us on our back and telling us that we're a good person. I don't need you to tell me nothing. As long as it's working, as long as it's happening, ain't that the goal? Is that not the purpose of it all? So Jesus, right? Jesus is the way. Say it. So now Jesus conveyed himself away. God couldn't even point him out. Verse 14, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, thou may hold sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." The man departed. That's powerful, ain't it? The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay, kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. What kind of the church wanted to kill him for healing somebody on the. It's the craziest thing. But it happened yesterday in a lot of places. It's going to happen on Easter Sunday in a lot of churches. They're going to try to kill somebody for doing something. You see what I'm saying? And being extraordinary. Look at the slam. Hey, look at the slam. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews, watch this. Therefore the Jews sought more to kill him. They madder. They even more mad now. Because he not only has broken the Sabbath, but also said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, I don't have time to get over that, but that's a covenant thing. We don't really see that in today's, in our American mindset or whatever. But like, that's your Father. You're equal with your Father. Like, you're equal. It makes you have the same benefits, the same power, the same access that the Father has. We don't see it that way. Verse 19 is where I want to get to, and then Jesus answered, and I won't read through everything, I can't. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son." Likewise means what? Just like, right? Verse 24, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showing him all things that himself doeth, and will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." All right, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. But that, verse 19, "The Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do." Jump to verse 30. And for your own personal time, because I'm teaching, I don't have a lot of time, I can't do that, but you got time to do it on your own time, right? You got time to read the whole, right? Verse 30, and it says, you read it. Ready, read. Stop. Is that in red in your Bible? So that's still him, right? It's not Reverend such and such and nobody else. This is still the master, right? And he said in that first line, say it again. I can't of my own self do nothing. All right, everybody say simplify. Come on, say it again, simplify. Come on, say it again, simplify. I know we got principles. I know your principles. I know the principles that we got. I know, you know, Paul said, I know the principles more than you all. I know the principles. I know how I work. I know the worship, and I know the principles, all right? But they don't work because you can't do nothing of yourself. They couldn't work without him. That would mean you do it. You can do it. You can't worship God unless you worship like Jesus. You say all them words we say, but if it ain't like Jesus, it don't matter. You can't give unless you're giving like Jesus. Well, how did Jesus give? You ever thought about that before? You ever thought about how Jesus sold? You ever thought about that? You ever gave that some thought? You know, if you give that some thought, maybe you get some revelation. Maybe you're giving a change. I wonder what Jesus giving and then trying to see what's coming back. Or did he just give? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." But there's nothing in that scripture about, so he expected to receive a harvest of souls. It's not in there, huh? It's not in there, is it? No, he just gave. We're feeble-minded people. We all are. God had to reach us on our feeble mindset, so he had to make some promises because we knew what kind of society we live in. We live in a work for wages, get paid, right? So many hours, how much you get paid an hour, right? All right, so you work so many hours, all right, you pay this much money, this is what you get back at the store. Like, that's what kind of, you pay this much, give me $10 of gas, you're going to get $10 worth of gas. How much it is a gallon, that's what you're going to get. Like, we're in that type of society, and so we're so much that the principles of God and the principles of Jesus, we're trying to work them like commerce sometimes, and free enterprise, right? But it doesn't work that way. It is just give. That's how Jesus, that's how he functioned. That's how he did things. He didn't do it for nothing. If he did it for something, he wouldn't have done it. Trust me, he'd have stopped. He'd have stopped after the miracle when them lepers came. Remember? Remember when 10 lepers came and he healed them and all of them left and only one came back? Well, that's enough to make you quit preaching. What? I come to church, I come in here, all the students are here and y'all got leprosy or whatever it is, and I come here and I preach my heart out, and then the power of God come in the room and works through me to get you here, and then you walk out the room and just throw me up the peace sign. I'm not coming back to this class next week because you wasn't grateful. That's nothing to make you quit, huh? But not Jesus. He didn't do it. He wasn't doing it because of that. He's just giving because it's his nature. It's yours too. It's your nature too. We got to change though. Let that mind. Huh? You got to constantly let it be in you. That's just your nature too. But we've got to regroup. We got to retool this whole thing. He said, verse 30, he said, oh, I can of myself do. How much? God, how much is nothing? Like, whoa. So that means I can't even. How much of your own self are you trying to do? Just think about it for a minute. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm preaching to you, but I'm thinking about it. Like, how much of my own self am I trying to do? I got a good idea. Good ideas are coming all day long. So I got a good idea. So this will work. But is it, you know, I hate to be cliche, but is it a God idea, right? Like, is it, it's a good idea, but is it, does it work? Like, is it, and I'm going to go to scripture, but is it breathed on by the Holy Ghost? Has Jesus breathed on this to make it become alive? You remember in the beginning? He formed Adam, but then he breathed in him the breath of life and he became a living soul, right? The Bible talks about, in Acts, we talk about when the Holy Spirit came upon, it was like a mighty rushing, like it's a wind, like the wind came into the place, like it's a wind, like it's a breathing that has to happen. The idea that you got, praise the Lord for it, and I won't say it's not from him, but it's a lot of great ideas. The devil got good ideas. He's smarter than all us. Put together, put all our minds together, he got us. It was just thinking, oh yeah, he got us. But has Jesus breathed on? Because I myself can do nothing. How much are you trying to do of yourself? As? What does as mean? What does it mean? Like, come on. Like, what does it mean? Like, as? Okay, that's a good one. I didn't think about it that way. That's great. I was thinking more time, but you thinking likeness. Oh, that's great. I like that. I got that similar. That's good. Similar. So similar to I hear. That's tight. That's a good revelation. Similar to what I hear, I judge. But also similar and at the same time. Like, I'm doing this as you are doing this. It means I'm doing it at the same time. So similar. I like that. I'm on that now. I'm going to be studying that all day tomorrow. But similar and at the same time, I hear, that's when I judge. And that's when I judge, and that's how I judge. That's good. Right? So I can't do nothing to myself. But as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just why? Why? Keep on reading. Well, how much of what we're doing is our will? Good question, huh? That's something you should ask yourself every day. how much of today is my will? That's why we're not getting a righteous judgment. That's why we're getting called guilty. You know, anytime something don't come through like it's supposed to, anytime you don't have something that you need or manifestation you need, you're getting wrapped guilty because you're supposed to be made free already. So you really you're innocent. So because you're innocent, you should have what innocent people have, which is freedom, right? But any bondage there, that means it's trying to wrap and say you're guilty. So we're not getting the judgment that we should have because it's my own will. I seek not mine own, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Verse 31, read. If I bear witness of myself, then my witness. Now, this is Jesus talking, y'all. Like, this is the mold now. This is the mold. Everybody say simplify. Come on, it's the mold. It doesn't get any more simple than this. That Jesus said, I read a scripture today in Luke 7, you know, the centurion, the man coming, talking about his servant. Now, people thought he came out. He didn't even come out and talk to Jesus. He sent his people out to tell him what he said, right? I'm reading through the scriptures now because I'm trying to catch it because I put myself in there. And Jesus marveled. The scripture says Jesus marveled. Hold on. I look up the word marvel, I mean like you astonished, like you taken aback, like you surprised, like you're marvel, like Jesus. What makes God surprised? Jesus, he had already done some miracles, so not like he ain't seen nothing, but they say he marveled, like it took him to the point to where it made Jesus be like, wow. What is going on here? It made Jesus look at it and say, wow, like marvel. Verse 31, he said, if I bear witness of myself, this is Jesus. This is he's the one. He's the Savior. He's the one. And he said, it's the same Jesus that said, nah, if you can't let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's the same one, right? It's the same Jesus, right? And he said, he know he got power. He just called himself the Son of God, which means to make him equal with God. So he know these things. Let this mind, that same mind, he got that mind. But then he said, it don't seem like it makes sense. It don't seem like it go together. It seems like he shouldn't have said that. It seems like Jesus shouldn't have said that. Ego runs rampant in the church nowadays. A lot of people won't say that because they want glory. Right. Yeah, well, I came up with the idea, you know, and then it catapulted the church into another dimension. Now you want to be whoever you are. But you really ain't nothing. Right. Me neither. Right? Because if Jesus can say, I have my own self can do nothing, well, what you think you need to say? Like, what you think your conversation need to be? If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Listen to what the man said. He said, I can't do nothing on myself. He said, as I hear, I judge. And I know my judgment is going to be just because of where I'm getting it from. So now here we go. Jesus said, and I don't have time to go to scripture, but Jesus said, go turn over to John 20. But Jesus said, how much time do I have? 5 minutes. Jesus says, so now Jesus says, before he goes, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless now. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you a comfort in the name of the Holy Ghost. He's going to teach you. He's going to teach you all things. Guide you in all truth, show you things you do not know, right? But chapter 20, verse 19, we'll just start this just for reading's sake. And it said, in the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Calm down. And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, what's the next line? So that sounds just like the works that I do. So just like you did with me, I'm doing with you. I'm passing on the baton. Like just like so. Really, what he's saying is, everything that you saw me do, you do the same thing. That's what he's saying. I'm just like the Father sent me. How did the Father send him? He told him exactly what to do. Huh? Y'all with that? That's how the Father sent him. There was no Jesus doing these mighty works without the Father sending him with directions. All right. And then verse 22, and I heard apostles say this Sunday, and most people say the church started in the book of Acts, but the church started right here. He said it yesterday in service. It was a powerful message. Y'all need to go listen to that too. Yesterday is the footprints of Jesus, a powerful message. But then he says, verse 22, and when he had said this, he said, I send you, right? He did what? And said unto them. And then verse 23, he starts talking about whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whoever sins unto them, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Well, what does that mean? Remit means to keep them, or retain means to keep them. Remit means to forgive them, to let them go. So now he said receive the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost give us power to do that. He said whoever sins, you remit, it's remitted well. It's remitted well. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted well. Unto them. So that means if you don't let them go, if you don't preach some freedom, if you don't give some love to forgive, then they're going to keep that thing that you don't like. That thing that you got so much of a problem with, it is your job to forgive that. That's witnessing. You know that, right? You thought it was whatever you do when you witness. No, that's witnessing. Like you got to let them know. Like don't hold it against them. Forgive them. How much we hold against people that don't look like us, that don't walk like we hold it against. We are remitted them. No, we retain them. We just hold on to them and just retain us. Retained, right? You just retained, just obtained it again. Because we do it. See what I'm saying? So, verse 22, he said this. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. I don't have time to go into, Romans 5:5. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, right? We know those scriptures. You find that because, everybody say simplify. Simplify. Say it again, simplify. Simplify. That message right there simplifies everything for you. You can preach whatever principles you want and all that, but that right there, as I hear, I judge, that's it. Jesus didn't know every move he was going to make. Y'all thought he had the plan already on day, 400 or whatever. This is what we're going to do. He didn't have all the moves. He was listening for direction. And he wasn't trying to figure it out. It's so much higher. So get all that stuff out. Stop doing stuff. Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost. Find out what the Holy Ghost is saying. What's the next thing you're dealing with? What's the thing you got on your mind right now that you got to go deal with after you leave here? Find out what the Holy Ghost is saying. Ask him. James 1 talking about any man that lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. He giveth freely to you. Ask the Holy Ghost. This is what he's there for. Find out. And then you'll be like Jesus in all those things. That's like, I want to be like you, Lord. Okay. Here so you can judge. That's simple, ain't it? Simple, ain't it? Why is it so hard for us to do? Go ahead, knock yours. Go ahead, knock yours. That's why. Right there, that hard head. Hard for you to get through that skull, right? You got to break it down.